Hello and welcome to the Field Talk Podcast from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture. I'm your host, Dan Lemke. Artificial intelligence is becoming increasingly prevalent in many industries, including agriculture. AI was the subject of a forum at FarmFest hosted by the millennial farmer, Zach Johnson.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Carolyn and Kent, for welcoming everybody here. And I'll back that up and say thank you to everybody for coming. On stage here, I've got Ken O'Brien with Corteva and Don Scribner with TerraClear. Before I get to these guys and they introduce themselves and a little bit about what they do, I just kind of want to talk about AI in general and my thoughts on it. So first of all, I'm not the expert, so I hope you guys are, because I'm here to learn from you along with everybody out in the audience. So as a farmer and as a person in general, I think artificial intelligence has to interest us all a little bit. I'm sure there's great things that are going to come from it. There's going to be some challenges as well along the way. But the way I think of AI right now and what's happened just in the last couple of years with AI is kind of how the internet was for me, you know, 20, 25 years ago. Carolyn talked about the punch cards to work the computers and come up with the designs and stuff. When I was in high school, you know, we still had the library cards and you had to fill out the library cards and punch those. By the time I had graduated high school, everybody was starting to get smartphones, and we were able to go on social media with those phones not long after that. And so what the internet's done just in the last 20, 25 years is pretty crazy, and I really think AI is probably that next thing that's going to just take everything, and agriculture included in that, to the next level. So I think the way that I grew up with the internet advancing everything, I think is probably the way my kids are going to grow up with artificial intelligence changing everything. So with that, I want to get to you guys and learn from you guys here. We'll start with Ken here. You're with Corteva. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is you guys do and what your role is and what you think of artificial intelligence in general.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ken O'Brien. I am Agronomy Innovation Leader for Corteva. So first, let me explain what that even means. I work with our US and Canada businesses, arming the agronomy teams that work with our farmers so that they have the right tools and resources to help make our customers more successful. I'm focused on the seed side of our business. Corteva has multiple seed brands, Pioneer, Brevant, Dairyland, Seed Consultants, Hogemeyer are probably the ones you're the most familiar with. And so I get the opportunity to be exposed to an awful lot of technology as it relates to agronomy and how we're going to apply it to make our products perform better. Artificial intelligence is one of those. So I cannot claim to be an artificial intelligence expert. I'm an agronomist, graduated from Iowa State with a master's in agronomy, but I apply enough of it that I think I can talk about what it means, and I'm backed up at Corteva by some great artificial intelligence experts. So happy to be here today to share a little bit more of the agronomy flair and row crops and how I see that happening, but some other things as well, because I would say we're already using artificial intelligence, probably almost everybody in the room, whether you know it or not, and I expect that we're gonna use more and more and more as the years and decades move on.
All right, Don, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, good morning, Don Scribner. I am the Director of Product for TerraClear. And for anyone who is wondering, what in the world is TerraClear? So the people we know today see us as the rock management solution company. I simplify it and say we make building rock piles super simple for farmers. But really, if you kind of break down the core of like what TerraClear is, we're an AI and robotics tech stack company that has just become laser focused on certain pain points within farming and looking to just deploy simple technologies to either help change or make a difference in how we address problems across the entire season of growing a different crop in the field. So excited to talk about what we're doing with AI, why we're excited about where AI is going, and appreciate you guys all coming today.
So along those lines, you said you're excited about what's coming. Can you give us any insight as far as what is coming and what excites you the most?
Yeah, so if I think about where we're at today, like Ken said, we're dealing with AI all day long. So you see, turn on the news, you see autonomous tractors, you see spot spraying happening, combines are changing their shoe settings as we go. But if you kind of think about what it's doing today, it's really setting up and it's sensing and acting really quickly. And I think really where it's going, where it's going to step forward to is this ability to start bringing in more and more inputs and not only sense, but then give information quickly to farmers so you can maybe make changes before you go to the field, as you're in the field, and then maybe make a different decision than you would have in the past. So one of the things we're working on that we're super excited is that whole turn time. So edge processing that gets you near real-time information as fast as our equipment can get through the field. So we're working on just stacking a edge processing system on this really productive autonomous unit that now allows you to go out there and maybe before or after you plant or spray to go make different decisions or maybe just verify the decisions you made are really working for your operation, your goals.
That's one of the big things I see coming, and what I'm learning from some of these companies is just how fast AI is going to be able to help you make a decision, you know, or it's going to make the decision for you and then clarify it with you to say, hey, is this correct? So, I hear a lot about how you get out of AI what you put into it. So there is a level of knowledge there to understand how to use certain types of AI and however it's being used. But Ken, I'm going to ask you the same question. Is there specific things that you see coming that you're really excited about?
Yeah, there certainly are. And I'll maybe even start, Zach. I have a bit of a philosophy that would say, I'm going to let that die down a second. Sorry, that I would say, I don't think technology like AI or digital solutions in general are going to replace agronomists. But I tell the agronomists at Corteva or Pioneer all the time, I do think agronomists who understand how to use these tools are going to replace those who don't. They're going to be more valuable to their customers. They're going to understand how to increase performance more. So I think that is definitely already happening and is going to continue to happen. If you ask me what are the things I'm the most excited about, if I break the seed business that Corteva has into kind of three chunks, it's not that simple, but that's how I think about it. One is you have to have research and development to create new products. And I think if I look at the future of where AI can be involved there, it's going to take the best breeders who are already creating better products and allow them to understand what the crosses could create before they ever create the cross in the first place. And then when they know what they want, they can combine AI with something like CRISPR technology. It allows them to really quickly create that product they want and make it happen even faster than what we do today. So I think in the future, we're going to take that genetic gain we already have in the seed industry and we're going to amplify it even more in R&D. The second chunk of the business I would talk about is producing the seed so that we can reliably get it to you. We can use AI to get better at that, and we can, most importantly, in my opinion, use it to help our customers be able to monitor the crop, understand when a disease outbreak is coming, when an insect outbreak is coming, to arm our agronomists with where to go look for challenges so that we don't have to just wait for them to show up and then react.
So you touched on something there when you talked about agronomics, and you mentioned how it's not necessarily going to replace agronomists, but it's going to separate those from who understand and can use the AI from those who can't. Does that concern you at all? Do you have concerns about AI replacing people? And is that a concern to you?
I think it's a valid concern, especially in certain parts of industries, where I think robotics especially is already replacing people in some areas. So I think we have to say it's already happening in some industries. I do believe, though, that this philosophy of agronomists who use these tools will be the ones who win out over those who don't. Agriculture is pretty complex. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made, and I view AI as more of a tool that's going to help us get the information we need to make more informed decisions, not necessarily to replace a decision maker.
Yeah.
There's still too many nuances. As an agronomist, I start every answer with, it depends.
Sure.
You have to tell me all these different factors before I can tell you the answer, and I think that's going to continue to be that way.
It's complex and it's diverse. You know, so just because something works a certain way on one farm or in one geographical area in one region doesn't mean it's going to be the same somewhere else. So there's so much diversity there. I'm sure this is all going to be used very differently. On that topic about will it replace humans, when I put out on my social media for some questions pertaining to AI, the single biggest concern I got was from people talking about autonomous machinery, autonomous tractors. So people are concerned about that replacing people that want to drive tractors. And if you aren't able to drive the machinery, then what's the point of farming anymore? Because that's the part of agriculture that a lot of people enjoy. So I guess my opinion on that is number one, if you want to drive the machinery, you can. I've seen the autonomous tractors, and you can stay in that tractor and drive that tractor as though it's a normal tractor. There's nothing different about it if you want to do that. But for those who don't, I think it's going to be a great tool to be able to have 2, 3, 4 machines out there working, and if you have to drive around and watch things and babysit 3 or 4 tractors, that's a heck of a lot more efficient than it is to sit in one tractor. Or you can sit in one tractor and maybe have another one going in the same field, and you can watch over that one because that AI one is going to be trained to follow what you do. You can just cover twice the ground. So that's some of the stuff that I see coming. But Don, along those same topics, so your company, you guys send up drones and you have ground rigs that are identifying rocks and objects and obstacles within the fields. Do you see replacing humans, or how do you see, does that concern you?
Well, I guess I'm a pretty big AI optimist. So when I think about it, I kind of, to your point, people are going to bring in certain technologies that kind of fit within their cost value benefit. So I haven't found too many people that complained about an autonomous rock picker picking up their rocks. So from a rock picking standpoint, probably not a lot of concern there. When it comes to driving tractors, I think at a macro level, are they going to replace every single tractor? It's going to take some time. But I think even like what we're talking about with like a lot of real-time sensing, if you want to do continuous type information gathering, there's a lot of tasks that are going to happen that there's better time spent. You guys are all very smart, capable human beings, and your time capital makes a lot more sense to go to some more important part of the farm where an autonomous tractor can go bring in really important information, help decipher it, and then kind of redirect or delegate your labor, your equipment, or something to a specific job. So I don't see it as necessarily replacing, but it's more of a, it's kind of a partner farmer that gets added to your operation that really you can talk to it, work with it on certain goals, cost management, and kind of outcomes. And I see that as, it's definitely, I look at it as the next big evolution of like where we can take ag. We gotta grow a lot more food, do it a lot tougher conditions. So I'm a pretty big optimist on what it's gonna do for us.
So this is a loaded question. Maybe there's not a great answer for this. I'm positive there's not a great answer for this. But this was a loaded one that I got. Somebody was wondering if you think it's possible for AI, would AI ever get to the point of being able to manage and operate an entire farm, really essentially without any humans needed?
Well, I am a product guy, so everything is possible. If you ask our engineers, there's a lot of reasons why it wouldn't. I don't see it, though, right? That's not... You think there's a lot of intuition, gut, historical knowledge and things. I think the biggest power with AI comes with how you can interact, engage, and kind of start a dialogue. No different than you would talk to your agronomist, a seed, or a dealer and try to figure out ways to work around. It's bringing you really powerful information, and then it's bringing you certain topics that you can ask it questions. If any of you have used ChatGPT or Grok or any of those pieces, you know that it's not just a Google search, it's a way to get something and then start to dive deep into it and understand. So I don't see it taking over the farm. I think humans are the ones that build productivity and do more because the technology enables them to do that. So,
Ken, what's your response to that?
First, I have to say ever's a really long time. So do I think...
So yes, you're saying yes.
Ever is a really long time. In my lifetime, very doubtful is what I would say. Do I think AI will be very involved on the farm? Absolutely. Completely take over every decision in the whole process? Probably unlikely in my lifetime.
I would agree with that as somebody that's not actively involved in AI. That's kind of what I see, that it's possible. Of course, it's going to help you manage and operate the farm, but will it completely remove the human side of things? I don't think so. I mean, like you say, at least not in our lifetime, not for a very long time. When it comes to accountability within AI, what are the risks with that? And what do you see for risks when it comes to accountability? And how is that handled if AI makes a serious mistake? Have you had any examples of that within your company?
Yeah, maybe the short answer is AI will make mistakes. So I think you have to have a plan for that. It's not perfect. Especially some of the large language models and some of the other things that we're using today, they make mistakes. A lot of what Corteva is working on would be what I would call machine learning or deep science models, decision-making tools that are aimed to help us with more information to make a more informed decision, but they don't make the decision for us. They may have a recommendation, but I still need a trusted advisor in the middle of that, just like I would if I'm selecting a new hybrid. I want to find somebody that I trust that can help me with that. We have a tool we call fungicide timing that's telling us the optimum time to apply fungicide to your corn crop. It's one tool that agronomists should use to help determine the recommendation they make, yes or no. Do we need a fungicide this year? And when's the optimum time to apply it? We shouldn't trust the AI completely. So I think you're going to have to understand they're probably going to have challenges. Every model is wrong. Some models are useful, is what I usually say. And I think a lot of AI tools will be the same way. Many of them will be useful. They're still going to have their flaws. You're going to have to understand the risk you're taking when you use one.
Don?
I mean, we've definitely seen our share, right? AI is going to make, ask the first cattle farmer that got a rock map from us what we found. It wasn't a lot of rocks, right? But you can continue to evolve it. I really think about the accountability side from like two aspects. From our company's standpoint, right, no different than anything else in ag. Quality is king. So poor quality products don't exist in the marketplace very long. Farmers talk. So I think one of the things that kind of keeps us on our toes, keeps the R&D focused on the right things is, if you start making recommendations and doing things that result in poor outcomes, people aren't going to buy it, and those companies won't be around very long to have to be accountable for. So I see that kind of market correction piece, and then, you know, we're going to take it piece by piece, autonomous tractors versus, you know, detecting rocks. Maybe there's a different risk appetite for how much accountability needs to be there, but it'll definitely kind of ebb and flow depending on what the use case is, for sure.
So in an attempt to stay a little bit out of the weeds, try to stay from getting too deep into the weeds here, what are the AI apps or the platforms, or what do you use personally when it comes to AI? And in that same question, what are the things within AI that we need to be aware of? For somebody like me that isn't entrenched in AI, what do I need to know today to kind of stay on top of this and understand a little bit about it as it's progressing?
Yeah, I think everyone go download a ChatGPT or a Grok is a great way to get started in it, right? It's a great tool. I use it every day. I have all three of them on my phone. It's a daily driver for how I start to research information and think about doing things differently. We talked about calculators and library cards earlier. It's just a faster way to get to things that, if you know what you're asking for and can kind of pick and choose, it's a great tool to kind of, I mean, I think about our engineers. We have really, really brilliant engineers that are developing amazing things. They use a lot of AI tools to start building code, not because they can't, but because getting a baseline and then taking their skill set and making it really good is the best use of their time. So, you know, ChatGPT, we use it for every aspect of our business. It's a great tool to kind of get started with.
Also use ChatGTP daily in my life, whether that's personal or I was joking ahead of coming up here with Zach a little bit. I'm a guy from Southwest Iowa, and my language isn't as perfect as I would like it to be, so I write an email, feed it into ChatGTP, and let it clean it up for me a little. We also have some internal tools at Corteva. We have one called Carl that's an agronomic resource library that's for our employee team. So I use that a lot. It's got 100 years worth of pioneer agronomy history built into it and allows me to search and understand a lot about what's going on with agronomic issues. So we're standing up some internal tools as well. I mentioned fungicide timing and some other tools that we're standing up internally at Corteva.
I think that's the thing that I'm probably the most excited about is to be able to see the data that I need to see like right now. So there's so much data out there that to me it becomes really overwhelming. You start looking specifically at agronomics and seed and all the data that we've collected with that stuff here in the last 20 years. But how do I just get to the answer that I need? And I think these AI tools are going to be able to help me with that, or help all of us with that. So to give the audience and you guys a little bit of an idea of where I'm at, I downloaded Grok 2 hours ago, right before I left for here, and I guess from the very little bit that I know about it and what I see with it, I'm a big Google person. I use Google for everything. If I'm curious about something, I go to Google and I look it up. My guess is Grok's probably going to replace that now here in the next week. And is there a difference really between like Grok and ChatGPT? Are they kind of the same thing?
Very similar.
Very similar?
Yeah. We use them all, but everything from there's code building software apps that are based off of one of those foundations. I think it really comes down to how you engage with it. If you use it as a Google search, it will act like Google. If you use it to engage and interact and ask questions, it can find a lot of information from a vast resource pool and kind of help you get to an end state faster.
Yeah, so I think those are kind of, like you guys both mentioned, those apps, those are kind of the first things that people like me and a lot of people in the audience are probably going to be using that has to do with AI, and then we'll see where it goes from there with companies like Corteva and TerraClear working on the things that will provide the return on investments in agriculture. I think we'll probably go to the audience now. There's got to be some good questions out there. So Kent is out here with a microphone. Anybody that's got a question, don't be shy. Somebody's always got to ask the first one.
Just raise your hand if you have a question, and the format is just give your name and where you're from and ask your question. Keep it in the form of a question, just like Jeopardy.
My name is Kevin. I'm from Hastings. Now, when AI is going to be starting to use more servers, and when are they going to hit a point where we don't have enough servers? And when is the point going to come where we can't keep up with the servers to make it work?
That's a great question. I'm going to give you the non-technical answer because I don't have the technical answer. This has been a big, we have massive servers today in our offices that we process a lot of data, and even if you have enough servers, the location of those servers is really kind of the bottleneck, right? So if everything has to go to a central and do it on one, you start to run into this capacity and kind of flow problem. So a lot of what we see and what a lot of the companies are building are these GPUs and systems that allow you to distribute that over smaller and smaller data sets, so that it's more of a scaling issue of getting enough servers, small servers out in the marketplace to do small demand jobs versus big servers to kind of take in everybody's data at one point. So that's where you'll start to see it on individual equipment and systems like that, or edge processing systems.
Okay, next question, right up front here.
When you're talking about machine learning and large language models, like how accurate are they getting at predictions?
Remember I said my normal answer as an agronomist starts with it depends, so I have to say that again this time. It's going to depend upon the exact model. So some of them are really, really accurate at being able to do what you want them to do. Others are still needing more information to be successful at what they do. So I've referenced it a couple of times, this model that we have at Corteva to help us with the timing of a fungicide application. We've got about 4 years worth of research on that one, a little over 1 million acres of use the last 2 years. And we are, versus the grower's normal timing, so we're comparing when they were going to apply a fungicide to what our timing is, 76% of the time, we're creating a better recommendation on average generating 5 bushels more yield. So not perfect, but better.
Okay, next question out there. Oh, right here. Here we go.
Hi, Emily Beal. I'm with AgWeek TV, and I'm based in Fargo. So as AI starts to become more popular and more people start to use it, are you guys at all concerned about the impacts it'll have on resources such as water, which is obviously very important to the ag industry in terms of irrigation and stuff along those lines?
So, I mean, it's a good question. I think this is where AI can be really powerful, right? So as you bring in more data and maybe make more, call them the sustainable solutions, you can start to dive into exactly how we apply nutrients, fertilizers, run equipment over ground, maybe do different tillage practices. So the more data and availability of us to be able to kind of monitor, maintain, and like change throughout the season, I feel like it gives us a good opportunity to actually improve on those things versus take it the other way.
Okay, we got another question back here. Again, just give your name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Alex from Chanhassen. And in the past, I've done some work on computer vision systems for ag equipment. And really, the limiting factors are on cameras and shutter speeds because you're down so low, moving so fast. So are we still at a camera bottleneck? And do cameras really need to advance before it's actually practical?
Depends upon the application would be part of my answer there. So there's already some successful things with See and Spray technology and other things that are able to go front of the sprayer and make an application change on the backside. In other instances, we have a model that's doing stand counts from drones for corn, and cameras can be a limitation for us there in terms of getting enough resolution with enough speed. And then part of our challenge is they change so often. Every drone model gets replaced every couple of years. Making sure that our software can keep up with the changes in cameras is also a challenge. So I think battery life for drones, camera speeds, there's a few other things that we will overcome that will help us as we get better at these things and find uses for them that are making all of the people in this room money, more investment happens to make things more efficient.
We're covering all the needs we have today with the current inventory that's out there. You know, we always talk about motion blur and things like that. Light is our nemesis, so enough light, we can get shutter speeds to work with what we're asking. We're getting, you know, sub-millimeter GSD data at the speeds we want to achieve. So I think the technology is there. It's processing and getting those sensors actually to the field when they need to be there.
Thanks for listening. Find other podcasts on linderfarmnetwork.com and on Apple and Spotify. And get up-to-date market information and farm news daily from your local LFN affiliate.